Not only does God think of us as his sheep to guide and to lead, dear ones, but as our good shepherd, he also protects us. Psalm 28, verse 9 tells us this. Oh, save your people and bless your heritage. Be their shepherd and carry them forever. And most importantly, in the focus of my remarks today, is God, the good shepherd, who goes out, leaves the flock, leaves those who are safe, but goes after the one that's lost in Jeremiah 31:10. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it to the coastlands far away. Say, he who scattered Israel will gather him and will keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock. In Psalm 119:176, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. And then Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Those are all wonderful texts, my dear friends, showing us the nature of God as our good shepherd. However, for the next few moments, though, I want to take a look more closely at our scripture meditation today, found in Luke 15. And I believe this has a message for you and I today in this parable. I believe that you and I need to hear what the Lord would want us to hear this morning. In verse 6 of chapter 15 of Luke, it says this. Here the good shepherd mentions my lost sheep. Did you know that lost people matter to God? And no matter how deeply you and I have fallen in sin, we still belong to God. God has a claim on every human heart, and no amount of sin and rebellion can ever cancel that claim that God has on us. The worst sinner in the world still bears God's image. Let me share with you from the inspired pen from Manuscript 18, 1892. She says this. Iniquity has debased the form of human beings and has well nigh obliterated the image of God from their hearts. Did you catch those words, well nigh obliterated? That means that the image of God in all of us is almost obliterated, but not entirely. There is still the spark of the image of God in every human being, no matter how fallen they are, dear ones. In this parable, the shepherd knows his sheep while they are lost. And the same is true of our Heavenly Father. He knows his lost sheep when they go far away into sin. And he knows them by name long before they know him. You know, most lost people don't know they're lost. And some of them are on the way to Jesus at this moment, but they don't know it yet. In the story that Jesus told about the 99 found sheep, the one has as great a value as the 99. But does that make any sense today? I mean, one out of 99? You're going to leave the entire flock to go after one out of the 99? The 99 are a big celebration time. I mean, they're really something to boast about. You got the 99, so what about the one? That's not the way God looks at it. That's not the way he looks at it. God is going to really go through all that effort and cost to rescue one lost sheep. Now, I think we can all agree that sheep are not necessarily the smartest animals in the farmyard. My wife one day read me a story of Philip Keller's book, looks at Psalm 99. The shepherd looks at Psalm 99. And, you know, sheep can be pretty recalcitrant. They can be pretty stubborn. They can be pretty resourceful on their own. You know, they don't like being talked to, and they don't like being led. They go out and they wander. They nibble a little bit of grass here, go to the pond for a drink here, and eventually they lose their way and they can't find their way back. And there's a lesson for you and I, dear ones. Do we have some sheep kind of tendencies in our own hearts? Do we tend to wander away from our first love? Do we want to go out there and experience things and not find our way back home? We want to do our own thing. We want to follow our own desires until one day we discover that we are far away from God. And we have no clear idea how we got in a mess like this. And we don't know how to find our way back to God. And if someone doesn't come for us, we're never going to find our way back home. Verse 4, the shepherd leaves his flock and goes after the lost sheep until he finds it. Remember, he doesn't know where the sheep went. He goes to a north, south, east, or west. He doesn't know where the little thing went to. So he sets out on a long journey that may take hours, days, or longer. And he doesn't know if he's even going to find that lost sheep. He only knows that he must go. And if he does not go, that lost sheep will never be found. You have to go to where the sheep are, beloved. They won't come to you. And that is an extremely important point. When you look at the parables of Luke 15, do you notice that they are stories about God and his love for the lost? Read it today in the afternoon, Luke 15. You have the lost sheep, you have the lost coin, and you have the lost son. Three losses in a row. And these stories reveal the heart of God for those who do not know him, but that's not the end of the story. As God loves, so we are to go in love. He cared enough to reach out to you and me, and we must care enough to reach out to others out there. And not only out there, but in here as well. God's love is the foundation of this church and all of our plans to reach the city of Bakersfield. 1 John 4:19 tells us we love because why? He first loved us. He came and sought us, so we should go out and find others. Let me go back to this 99 out of 100 thing. You know, I told you I'm a little bit of a baseball fan. If while I was playing Little League Baseball, I got 99 hits out of 100, they would put me in the Hall of Fame. 99 out of 100 hits, they would love me. If I so had the academic ingenuity to get 99 out of 100 on my test, I would be satisfied. And I'm telling you right now, loved ones, I never got 99 out of 100. In fact, when I was in grade school, parent-teacher conference day that all the children dread, right, children, parent-teacher conference day, fifth grade teacher called my parents in the room and said, Mr. and Mrs. Petch, you know, Danny's a nice boy, but we buy him all these new books and all he does is chew the covers off of them. Meaning, your boy ain't the brightest bulb in the package. I was a slow learner. Took me a little while. Anyway, getting back to Jesus leaving the 99, you know, it would be kind of crazy to leave the 99 alone and you go out after the one. I mean, wouldn't the other 99 go out and wander away again? This story tells me another story that perhaps Jesus, and I'm sure he did, the Good Shepherd, leaves the care of the 99 to those other under-shepherds who serve the Great Shepherd, who love that other sheep that went away, but somebody's got to remain with the 99. What a picture of God we have before us. The chief shepherd leaves the security of the flock and goes out into the country, and in your translation it may say the desert or deserted places, to go and find that one lost sheep, bearing all of the pain and suffering and danger that the shepherd may entail. But let me suggest what this means to you, dear ones. the found sheep must be left before the lost sheep can be found. That lost sheep will never find its way back to the fold. Someone has to go after that lost sheep and bring it back. Many people will stay with the found sheep to make sure they remain in the fold, to help nurture them, to help sustain them. But someone has to leave the comfort of the flock and go out and look for the lost sheep of Bakersfield. You know, there are always many good reasons to remain within the flock. But if everyone stays and nobody goes, the lost sheep are going to be lost forever. It requires personal commitment. I want to share with you some of the verbs that is used in this text. Very important. It says this: he leaves, he goes, he finds, he lifts, he carries, and he calls his friends. It's all very intimate, dear ones. The shepherd pours his very life into the task of recovering that one lost sheep. And what happens when he finds it? Ooh-wee. He rejoices. He's ecstatic. He's overwhelmed with emotion as he finds that one lost sheep. And what happens when he returns with that lost sheep? The people rejoice when the sheep returns to the fold. Heaven rejoices when one sinner repents. Verses 5 and 6. He joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Think about that. The sheep is still in the wilderness when the shepherd picks him up. There is a long journey ahead back to the fold. And he's going to carry that sheep every step of the way. But the shepherd rejoices even though the sheep is not yet home. He is safe in the shepherd's arms. And that's all that matters. Let me share something with you from the Pen of Inspiration as found in Christ Object Lessons, page 188. With what relief he hears in the distance its first faint cry. Following the sound, he climbs the steepest heights. He goes to the very edge of the precipice at the risk of his own life. Thus he searches while the cry growing fainter tells him that his sheep is ready to die. At last, his effort is rewarded. The lost is found. Then he does not scold it because it has caused him so much trouble. He does not drive it with a whip. He doesn't even try to lead it home. In his joy, he takes the trembling creature upon his shoulders. If it is bruised and wounded, he gathers it in his arms, pressing it close to his bosom, that the warmth of his own heart may give it life. With gratitude that his search has not been in vain, he bears it back to the fold. He presses the animal close to his heart to give it warmth. What a picture of God. But did you notice this, dear ones? The shepherd doesn't scold the sheep for all the trouble that he's caused him. Unlike, of course, what many might say in the church, "You stupid sheep, look at all the trouble you caused me. If you ever do it again, I'll shear you right down to your flimsy hide." Sometimes we Adventist Christians can be so hard on sinners, almost as though we were never sinners ourselves. I hear deathly silence out there. Okay. Did you also notice in verse 6, the shepherd calls his friends together and they rejoice when the shepherd returns with the lost sheep? Again, from Christ Object Lessons. When the straying sheep is at last brought home, the shepherd's gratitude finds expression in melodious songs of rejoicing. He calls upon his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." So, when a wanderer is found by the great shepherd of the sheep, heaven and earth unite in thanksgiving and praise. Oh, dear ones, let me go to Medlin. It might be, and I might imagine there might be a Judas or two in the crowd who moans and complains about what a waste of time and money for one lousy sheep. You put the whole herd at risk. You should have let him go. Instead, they rejoice that one lost sheep has come home. Let me go one page later on Christ Object Lessons. When one who has wandered far in sin seeks to return to God, he will encounter criticism and distrust. And can you guess from whom? She didn't write that. I just asked you that question. Can you guess from whom people receive scorn, criticism, and distrust? There are those who will doubt whether his repentance is genuine or will whisper, "He has no stability. I do not believe that he will hold out." These persons are doing not the work of God, but the work of Satan, who is the accuser of the brethren. Through their criticisms, the wicked one hopes to discourage that soul and to drive him still farther from hope from God. Let the repenting sinner contemplate the rejoicing in heaven over the return of the one that was lost. Let him rest in the love of God and in no case be disheartened by the scorn and suspicion, and she says this, of the Pharisees in the church. 1 John 3:1. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. All of us. The wandering ones are still the children of God, and those who come back are still the children of God. That's the kind of God we serve, dear ones. He doesn't write anybody off. As far as heaven is concerned, there are no hopeless cases. But what about you and I? Do we see hopeless cases out there? Do we see, with our own limited vision, maybe hopeless cases in the church? God forbid. God forbid. God cares for sinners one sinner at a time. You and I should too. In Luke 7:34, Jesus is called the friend of sinners. Would anyone say that about you and I? I'll share a story with you. Every Sabbath afternoon, after the morning service at their church, the pastor and his 11-year-old son would go out into their town to hand out some gospel tracts. Well, this particular Sabbath afternoon, it came time for the pastor and his son to go out in the streets, but it was cold outside and it was rainy, you know, one of those miserable days like we sometimes get here in Bakersfield. The boy bundled up in his warmest clothes and driest clothes and said, "Okay, Dad, I'm ready to go." And Pastor Dad asked, "Ready for what?" "Dad, it's time we gather our tracks together and go out and talk to the people of our little city." And Dad responds, "Son, I'm sorry, it's really cold and pouring down rain outside." And the little boy gives his dad a look like, "So? Are there not people going to be lost, even though it's rainy and cold outside, if they don't get one of our tracks?" Father said, "Well, son, I'm not going out, and that's all there is to it." But the little boy said, "But Daddy, can I go?" Father hesitated a little bit and said, "Okay, be very careful." The 11-year-old boy walked the streets alone that afternoon, late into the early evening, going door to door, handing out his little gospel tract to everyone that he saw on the street corner or at a house. After about 3 or 4 hours of walking in the drizzle, rain, and cold, he was chilled right down to the bone. You can imagine what this little guy looked like. He stopped on a corner. He had one gospel tract left, but he couldn't find anybody to give it to. He looked all around. The streets were deserted. He was by himself. Then he turned toward the first home that he saw and started to walk up the sidewalk to the front door and rang the doorbell. Let me just digress for a moment. Do you remember when we used to do in-gathering, beloved? Do you remember what you felt like going up those steps and ringing that door? Did it give you a little bit of consternation in your heart? Did you almost pray, "I hope nobody's home"? He rang the bell, but nobody answered. He rang it again and again and again, but still nobody came to the door. No answer. Finally, this 11-year-old trooper turned to leave, but something stopped him. Again, he turned toward the door, rang the bell, and then began to knock loudly on the door. Persistent little guy, wasn't he? He waited. Something was holding him there on that step. He rang again and again, and this time the door slowly opened. In front of him was a very sad-looking elderly woman, and she said softly, "What can I do for you, sonny boy?" With radiant eyes and a smile that would light up the whole world, the little boy said, "Ma'am, I'm sorry if I disturbed you, but I want to tell you that Jesus really does love you. And I have my last gospel tract, and I'm telling you, dear lady, I felt that I had to give this to you. Please take it." And as he's leaving, he said, "God bless you." The lady took the tract and said to him in a very weak and feeble voice, "God bless you too, son." Well, the following Sabbath comes. Pastor Dad is going to do a little different kind of a church service, and one that I want to plan to do here too with us one day, and that's just have a testimony service. Just a testimony. We'll sing, but testimony of how God has led in your life. Well, he wanted this kind of service. And so he asked, he said, "Does anybody here have a testimony they would love to share with the congregation?" You know, sometimes you don't get people all at once jumping up and saying, "Yeah, me. No, but there was an old lady in the back row who stood up and said following, "None of you know me in this church. I've never been here before. You see, last Saturday, I was not a Christian. My husband passed on many years ago, leaving me totally alone in this world. I have no one. And last Saturday, being a particularly cold and rainy day outside, it was even more cold and rainy and despairing within my own heart. And I came to the end of the line where I no longer had any hope or will to live. So I took a rope," she said, "and I went upstairs to the attic, and I had a chair there, and I climbed the chair and I fastened the rope to the attic beam. And I fastened the other end around my neck. Standing on that chair, so lonely and brokenhearted, I was about to leap off when suddenly loud ringing at my doorbell occurred downstairs. It startled me." She said, "I thought to myself, that person will ring and eventually go away. But the ringing kept going." And she said, "Believe it or not, there was knocking on my door and ringing and knocking and ringing and knocking. I said, who could this possibly be? Nobody ever comes to see me." So just to chase away whoever was there, she undid the rope around her neck, went downstairs, and on the front porch, she said, there was, when she opened the door, the most radiant, angelic-looking little boy she had ever seen in her life. She said, his smile. If I could only tell you about his smile. And she said that the words that came from his mouth caused my heart that had long been dead to leap to life as he exclaimed with a cherub-like voice, "Ma'am, I just came to tell you that Jesus really does love you. And then he gave me this gospel tract with your church address on the back, and that's why I'm here today. I read every word of that tract. I went back upstairs. I unfastened the rope. I would not need it anymore. You see, she said, I am now a child of the King. I am rejoicing that God has called me into his fold. And I'm here to say thank you to God's little angel who came to me just before I ended my life and gave me the good news. Well, there were no dry eyes in the church, obviously. The entire church family began to shout praises and give honor and glory to the God of the universe for his great love for a soul that was lost but now is found. Pastor Dad descended from the pulpit to where his little cherub son is and scooped him up in his arms and wept uncontrollably. Probably no church has had a more glorious moment, and probably this universe has never seen a father that was more filled with love and honor for his son, except for our Heavenly Father, who allowed his son to come into this dark, cold world to save you and I from the ruin of sin. And God our Father received his son back to unspeakable joy and the adoration of all the heavenly host. A while back, I was reading in Acts of the Apostles. Let me share this with you, because it changed my whole perspective. From Acts of the Apostles, page 154. When sinners are led to give themselves to the Savior, angels bear the tidings heavenward, and there is great rejoicing among the heavenly host. Joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons, which need no repentance. But I want you to listen to this. A report is born to heaven of every successful effort on our part to dispel the darkness and to spread abroad the knowledge of Christ. Can I say that one more time? A report is born to heaven of every successful effort on our part to dispel the darkness and to spread abroad the knowledge of Christ. As the deed is recounted before the Father, joy thrills through all of the heavenly host. Our efforts to reach the lost are borne witness before our Heavenly Father. So I want to bring our sermon time together with one last thought. You know, the problem with Bakersfield isn't so much the city of Bakersfield out there. No, it's not. It's the problem with the world is the church. The church. The problem is not the sinners out there in Bakersfield. The problem is the saints in the church. It's not the bad guys out there. It's about the good guys in here who won't take the good news to Bakersfield. The problem is not the sin we see all around us. The problem is the really good people that wish to remain secure inside the walls of this church. I've read the Bible a couple times, a few times, and I can't find anywhere in the scriptures where it commands the lost to come to the church. Does anybody know a text? I looked, I can't find one. The lost are not commanded to come into this church. And if we wait for the lost to come, we're going to wait an awfully long time. What this means for you and I, my dear church family, is that we can't stay here in the relative security of these four walls. We're going to have to move out. Move out of this church to where the people are. Yes, we have done evangelistic series and people have come. But more importantly, we need to go out there and share the good news with the people out there, then help them to come back in here. The church must go to where the people are. We have to meet the people where they are. And with God's help and the power of the Holy Spirit, bring them to Jesus Christ. We can't expect them to come to us. We have to go to where they are. So let me give you a vision of the Hillcrest Seventh-day Adventist Church. I'm going to rename it. It's a church that's all over the place in Bakersfield. That's what we're going to be known as. The church that's all over the place in Bakersfield. You know, we're noted for a couple things in this city. We're going to be noted for four major things. Number one, we are noted for the walk through Bethlehem. How many thousands of people came to that, Jesse? 4,000? 5,000? 5,000 people came to our church through the walk through Bethlehem. Okay? We had the Amen Clinic next. 500-600 people came out for that. We're going to have a convocation that's going to be colossal starting in May of 2018, and I sent out messages about that. Please keep looking at your bulletin as we flesh this out. And it is the brainchild of Valerie Anglin, by the way, and Doug. This whole new format, I want to give credit where credit is due. And I know they're very humble, and they're probably saying, I wish he wouldn't have said that, but I just said it. Okay, so that's what are the three things so far? We're noted for our walk through Bethlehem. We are noted through our Amen Clinic. We're going to be noted for our convocation because that's going to be an evangelistic outreach for the whole community of Bakersfield. And the fourth thing is, once a year, we're going to have a major reaping service, an evangelistic service of all the interests that have been gathered from all of these things. That's why we need all of you to be part and parcel of this evangelistic outreach, where when we get interest cards from all these events, we're going to give them to you. Yes, we have a couple Bible workers that are going to help, but it's for you too. You need, and I need, to grow spiritually by sharing the good news. And those people that we've been studying with will come to the eventual evangelistic series, the Reaping series, and that's what this church is going to be known for. Walk through Bethlehem, the Amen Clinic, the convocation, and the evangelistic series. Jesus told the story of the shepherd who went after the one lost sheep. And of course, he was speaking about himself as he seeks the lost. Aren't we encouraged to be like Jesus? Don't we want to be like Jesus? Of course we do. Then why not draw a circle on the ground? We're all looking for church revival, right? I have an idea. Everybody draw a circle where they are, stand in the middle, and let the revival begin inside that circle. And then let it go out everywhere else. We need a personal revival in our own hearts, dear ones. We need to be like Jesus because he is coming back soon. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Dear ones, would you stand with me, please, for our hymn of consecration? Oh, I know you'll love this one. Amazing Grace. Let's sing all the stanzas of Amazing Grace.
To fear and grace my faith. me. His word, my hope, secures. He will my shield and portion be. As long as life endures, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. His grace hath brought me safe.
Receive the benediction. Be strong and be courageous. Do not fear nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Amen and amen. Please be seated.